Good morning. I guess we'll get started. Let me test this blinker. Okay, that's good. Okay. All right. It looks like that's going to be kind of small, unfortunately. I don't know if you guys can see it that well. Let's have a prayer to get started, and we'll be studying from the book of John this morning.
Let's have a prayer. Again, Father, thanks for another day to worship you. Be with us in our class this morning as we think about the Gospel of John. We ask a special blessing on our graduates, and also our veterans, and may we always bring glory to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Okay, so, we're going to be studying the book of John today, and this what we see here is one of the oldest manuscripts of the New Testament, let alone the book of John, but it happens to be the book of John, and it's dated 2nd century, either 175 to 225. I've seen it maybe a little earlier, some people a little later, but so this is like, theoretically, this could be like a copy of the original, right? It's so old. Or maybe a copy of the original. I mean, it's just incredibly, incredibly old. Maybe we get a little closer zoom on this, but I guess if you use your imagination, you can see on top that you can see a little bit of your imagination. If you look at the top, you see basically three words, and if you lose your imagination, it looks sort of like evangelism, kata, ian, maybe, or kind of a long ian, ian, ianes, but ian, so basically evangelism, kata, ian, so it's the gospel according to John across the top. If you use, it's not very clear at all. If you look at this, you can see it uses what they call scripto continua. No spaces or punctuation between the words in the New Testament. All the old New Testament writings were written in this manner, that there's no spaces between words in the Greek. And also they're called, I don't know what they're, majuscules, all uppercase Greek. But when I say uppercase, that means they're big. I don't know. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to look like capital letters to us. A lot of the letters look like lowercase Greek, really, to me. But they're all, high, both low. They're all, big. So in that case, they're uppercase. And some of these look more like, they look more like big lowercase. And some of them are, you got to think about this. To us, we're not the authorities, right? Because this is old. They're older, right? So whatever they did, they're right. And all ancient texts had all caps and no spaces until about 900 AD, which I find incredible. If you pick up a Greek Bible today, it's going to have lowercase and everything. So it's going to be okay. If you look at this, you can see the first two words, N-R-K. First word is E-N, and then it looks the basic. If you look at it, it looks like capital E, capital N, A, capital P, capital X, capital H. But really, that's so it's. It's really two words, N-R-K. So N, there's a ton of, even in English, there's a ton of medical words that starts with E-N. And, you know, E-N means N, so it's you just not too big a stretch. And then you have the P is really an R. And then the X is... A lot of times you see X for Christ, so it's CH, so it's like A R C H, and then it's a. You think it's an E or an A? To me, you write it. It's like it's an E, but you pronounce it like a long A. Okay, the H, so it's kind of like H is a long A, right? So it's A. Okay. So NRK. So can y'all see that at all, or? Yeah, in the top. And if you can't, I mean, you can look at the bottom. So you can see the NRK. Yeah, you can see the X, and you can see the P. And if you look at the A, it looks like a little A, right? It looks like a big little A. It don't look like a capital A. And the H looks like a capital, well, the eta looks like a capital H. The rho looks like a capital P. And then the epsilon looks like an E, all right. But it looks like a, more like a, I don't know. I mean, it definitely looks like an E, but you know, it's a curly Q E. But anyway, So that's kind of cool. So if you look at, I guess, the Greek letters, I put in red the ones that, you know, maybe we'll probably see today. You see the little A, a capital A that looks like a little A, and then the gamma, and then the epsilon, the eta, the theta, the iota, the kappa, the lambda, the nu is kind of easy, N, and omicron, that's easy, and pi, I think we've all seen pi, right? So the capital pi is a little, you know, definitely looks like a pi, and then the rho, just looks like a P. And then the sigma doesn't really look like any of the, it looks more, it looks like a C. If you look at it, it looks like a C. If you see something that looks like a C, that's a sigma. So I guess maybe that, and then you, the T, the tau, it looks right. And then the X is the key. And then I think that's hopefully all the letters that we'll see today. But anyway, so if you can read that, you're reading the old, if you can see the NRK there, first, you've just read the first two letters of the most ancient text of the book of John, right? Well, that's pretty awesome, right? I think. Yeah, this is Greek. Yeah, and so this is like very early too, right? It's like, I mean, this could literally be a copy of the original. You know, the original was destroyed, you know, it was used so much, right? They just destroyed it. And you can see how this one is deteriorated too. But you know, this could literally be a copy of the original. It's that old, because 175, so it could theoretically be a copy of the original.
So someone actually sat down and took this sheet and put it in English.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, textual criticism, yeah, if you get, I mean, it's a long story, right? You know, how that we got the Bible, right? Because, did they use this probably to get into English? No. Because really early on, somehow the Latin Vulgate, I don't know if you heard the Latin Vulgate, that became popular, and I think a lot of English scriptures are kind of based more on the Latin Vulgate originally, and then the more Greek manuscripts that were discovered, you know, we kind of go back, they kind of go back and make it better and verify it and everything. You know, and it's a big headache, right? Cause I guess the whole science behind that is called textual criticism, and that can be bad or good, right? Because you have liberal textual criticism where they kind of just tear apart the Bible, you know, and try to say, oh, it's not accurate and everything. But the idea behind conservative textual criticism is that we're going to try to look at all the ancient texts, and we're going to try to find the best ones, right? And we're gonna, you know, try to build back what the original had, you know. And we can see here that, you know, this is clear. I mean, this is, you know, luckily, we have in P66, we have, it's got some stuff chopped off. There's some pages missing, and there's some stuff chopped. We'll see some stuff chopped off at the end. But it's still, you know, like 90% there. I mean, or, you know, at least 80%. Probably more like 90, though. It seems to be pretty good.
So that little sentence, N-A-P-H, what you have on the board there,
uh-huh.
The capital letters, so what did that mean?
Okay, yeah, so I think I got that here. Yeah, so N-R-K. Is in, E, N is in, right? And RK is, you know, the beginning, origin, first cause. I mean, we use the word like arc is like archangel. It's the same word, like it means, you know, preeminence or first or beginning. Yeah, so together with, the, so yeah, so just in RK, in the beginning. And, okay, so take one more look. And go the next four words. Now I have to look at the, okay, that is an H, okay. It does look like an H there. So then we have the Hain. Or no, I'm sorry, I pronounce it, no, can't pronounce it Hain. It's, even though it looks like an H, it's Ain. And then, so it looks, then if we look at the bottom here, it's Hain, Hologos, Kai. So Ain is just was, basically. So it's like the word to be. And so every single language, the word to be is always irregular. Like in English, it's is, was, were, all that stuff, right? And every one of them, there's nothing regular about it, right? Like, and it's, you know, in other languages, it's the same thing. There's no, you're never going to find a language that's got a regular word to, for the word to be is always irregular. So you have Ain, and then the O, what you see there, just the O, the Ho. Okay, so it's a definite article. So it's like the first, what they call the first declension, definite article, you know, nominative case. So it's like, in English, like, the only noun really in English that really has more cases than maybe one or two would be where, like, I, right? All the, like, I, we, us, them. And then it's got a different, and it's got a difference between the object and the subject, right? If it's a subject, it's I. It's, yeah, and then if it's an object, it's me, right? So it's I, me. Well, in Greek, they're all that way, right? There'd be like five different forms of every word. So one for the nominative, which is like the subject. So the subject, so the first declension, you know, so if it ends in os, omicron, sigma, that's going to be like a first declension subject. If that makes sense. But unfortunately, not all words are first declension. So, matter of fact, probably in the end, very few are, relatively. Well, there's probably quite a few, but there's still a lot that are not. But anyway, so you see the O, then the logos. You know, it's, you know, that's the, a subject. And then chi, you can always see that. It kind of helps you read, really, this stuff and pick it out, because you can see the chi. The chi just means and. So if you look at that, it says, ein ho logos chi. So that would be, was the word and. So ein is imperfect of me, was. Continuous past tense implies ongoing existence. In the o and the ho is, and so they put, in Greek, they put the H sound is implied. I mean, it's just an O, but, you know, they put a breathing sound in front of it, the H, I guess they call it. So it makes it an H. And I always think it's kind of funny because Greek adds an H sound where there is none. So O becomes ho. But Italian, they drop the H where there is one. Like if they see the word hotel, which is really not an Italian word, in all fairness to them. But if you see an Italian and they see what to them is a foreign word, they see hotel, they'll pronounce it hotel, you know, which, so they'll drop that H, you know, just can't deal with an H, as a starting letter, you know, I guess don't really want to get into this, but if you see H, if you see a CH in Italian, that's a hard K, right? It's a hard K sound. It's kind of funny because it's reversed in English, right? But if you just see the C, that's a CHA sound. So it's confusing. It's exact opposite. So if you see just the C, like in chow, C-I-A-O, you see, you know, that's a CHA sound. But if you see the CH, that's a ka sound. But anyway, we're not studying Italian today. We're studying Greek. But I think it's funny because it's kind of backwards. Okay, so logos. Okay, the word, the message can mean word, message. I mean, it's a loaded word. I mean, it's a loaded word in English and it's a loaded word in Greek. You can mean a lot more than just a simple word. Use here is the title for Christ. And then the last word is chi, and it's just the conjunction. And to take a look at it again. So, ein, ho logos, chi, and the word, was the word And, what is the word and? Okay, next two words we've already seen, hologos. We just read it. Okay, so the next four words. Okay, and so this gets chopped off, so you can see. It's going good, and then, I chopped it off here, but even in the text, it's chopped off. It gets deteriorated, and just... but you can see the hain, pros, ton, theon. But most of the ton, theon, So all we can really read here is the was with the, and but here the ton, theon is, That's God again. We haven't got to God yet, but that's God. But theos is like the subject God, right? If it's used as a subject, it's going to be theos. If it's used as a like a predicate, it's going to have the end and the end, the noon. But it's not really readable up there anyway. But you can see the pros, and you can see the P or the pi. Oops. You can see the pi there. And then the row. Then the O, then the C. It looks like a C. But it's really the sigma. I hope this is making some sort of sense. Okay, then we have I gotta go back up. Okay, here we are. Okay, so, hein pros, okay, so, just means was, and then pros is toward, it's a preposition, it means like toward or with in relation, and I guess, think there's words like prosthetic that are related to this word. Tantiam, definite. Ton is definite article, accusative, masculine, singular. So, what's cool about Greek is word order doesn't. In English, word order, most everything is word order, right? We tell the difference between a subject and an object in English. Most of the time, it's word order, unless you're an elite writer, you can. But it's mainly word order. But in Greek, it's kind of cool because you can tell the parts of speech by the form, and then they can use the word order for emphasis. So if a word starts, so they can start basically with whatever they want to emphasize. And theos is God. Is in and so this is that again. Okay, then the last five words, this is going last five words of John 1:1, and basically in its translated, it would be, and God was the word. Then we can see it's Kai. And this is really weird to me because, I first found this out because they abbreviate the word for God. Seems kind of disrespectful, doesn't it? you know, but they abbreviate it, but instead of underline it, like, you know, when in English, we emphasize a word, you know, we would underline it, right? Well, they overline it, so you can see the chi, then the theta, and then the, looks like theta C, but it's really sigma. But you can see, and that's the abbreviation for God, just the first and last letters. But then they put a line over the top, to give it the respect, right? That's given the divine respect. Put the line over the top, underline it, or instead of underlining it, they overline it. Which is kind of cool. And then we have the word ain again, was the word. Okay. Very controversial right here, right? If you've, Jehovah's Witnesses have made it controversial because, you know, if you were just to take Greek 101, right? And you see the word, and you see a word without the definite article. There is no indefinite article in Greek. So, you know, how do you tell if you're going to translate? You know, should you put the indefinite article in there or just leave it off? Like, so we say, and the word was God, right? That's how we say it. But how do we know that it's not the word was a God? And we can know, you know, it's not just a guess because... So both of those, both theos and logos, okay, they both end in sigma in this situation, right? So they're both nominative case. They're both subject. So it's kind of a special thing in Greek, you know, because usually if you're going to have a sentence, you're going to have, you know, one of them is going to be in the predicative, you know, going to be like more like a predicate. It's going to end in N or something else. In a predicate, but in this case, it's like subject, verb, subject. And so in that case, then it's, you know, guess, you know, it's kind of special then. And then, so how do we know which, in that case, you can tell which is the subject by whichever one has the definite article. And so the whole logos that has the definite article, then was, and then theos. Theos would be the subject, even though it is in the, you know, nominative case. But it's almost like subject. Okay. So, okay, key grammar point. The predicate noun becomes before the verb and lacks the article. According to Caldwell's rule, this construction emphasizes the nature or essence, not indefiniteness. So, theos in hologos means the word was truly divine, not merely a god. Because what we're saying here is the word was in the very essence of God that has truly divine, not merely, you know, Greek 101. Okay, it can be an A. You can stick an A in there if you want. No. So you can tell, you know, whoever the Jehovah's Witness that made up that, you know, had barely taken... any Greek at all, if at all. Okay. And theos, so it's kind of strange because it is in theos, was the logos. So it's word order. So the word order is for emphasis, right? So it's emphasizing God. Because they don't need to, it doesn't need to be, not to emphasize part of speech, right? Not to emphasize the subject and object. So theos, God, was the word, or the word was God. Okay. Okay, the traditional translation, the word was God, affirms the word is distinct from the Father, the Logos, but shares fully in the divine essence. So it's distinct but divine. So it truly affirms what we call the Trinity. Even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, you know, it's still, we, and so, and what it, what happens is really, the poor darlings, they really try to avoid, you know, the Trinity. They really try to avoid anything that sounds like three gods. But in the end, they just create a three-tier God, right? And we don't want to create a three-tier God, right? But in the essence, they have God the Father, and then a created being, you know, right at the beginning, Jesus, and then they have the Holy Spirit down a couple more notches. So they end up with a three-tier God instead of having the three persons of one divine essence, you know, all three divine, three persons, one divine essence. But they end up with three essences, right? You know, because they end up with three tiers. And we don't have a three-tier God. We have Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're all divine. Okay. So, overtime. Any questions? Seriously, I guess you should ask.
It feels like algebra.
Okay. Yeah.
See, he was a God.
Yeah. And
so I like the way you explain that.
Right? Yeah, because it's just not. I mean, it's just, well, if you're going to say that, okay, a God, okay. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Here's another. Okay, NRK, go back to the, let's go back, right? Okay, so we go back to the very beginning, NRK. Okay, there's a preposition and a subject without the definite article. And do we translate that in a beginning? We don't translate that in a beginning. You know, so ask them, and look at their version. Do they translate that, you know, in a beginning? If you're going to be consistent and say, oh, you know, there's no definite article, so we're going to put an A, why don't you translate that in a beginning? Yeah.
They try to make it like you say, without the article, without the specific, the God, right?
Yeah.
Was the God? There's another example in the New Testament where they do the exact opposite. And I wish I could remember it.
Yeah. And one of them is, I wish I would have had time. But God is love. God is love is the same thing. It's, you know, it's got the nominative. But yeah, in that case, it's nominative, nominative. It's exactly the same construct. God is love.
You would say God is a love.
No, no, no. It's the essence of love. Yeah.
Actually, to search deeper and to understand for myself in Scripture that Jesus is God. He's a part of the deity. And but even if that was the case, that He is the God, other scriptures don't support that.
Yeah, absolutely. In context, then there's no. Yeah, that's another way we can tell is in context. I mean, I guess they get the idea. I mean, Jesus doesn't brag on himself too much, right? You know, I mean, but he does. I mean, there's some subtle cases where, you know, yeah, there. Before Abraham, I am, and then there's one where he goes, "Hail," you know, he says, "Hail," and all his disciples, you know, bow to him. And, you know, they don't like to bring that up, right? I mean, you know, there's cases where Jesus, you know, lays it out who he is. But in most cases, I mean, he's very humble and he doesn't put that out there. But, you know, if you read it all, he certainly does. Okay. Overtime. Okay, so we've got another mind shift, if you want to. Okay, so if 125 or if 175 AD wasn't old enough, we're going to go back to this is 400 BC. So this is the great Isaiah scroll. And this is basically Yahweh, the word Yahweh in the Hebrew, and you know, so, and it's written right to left. So that the first letter on the right is Yod, and then the second and the fourth, they're the same, right? So those are Hays, Hay, and then the third one from the right is a Vav. So it's like Y, H. Guess whatever your teacher or whatever school they went to, because really don't really know how all this stuff was pronounced back then. But I guess what depends what school you went to, how you pronounce it. But you know, I definitely. It seems to me to be definitely a Vav, a V, Va. But anyway, so you have YHVH.
Not your internet. Part of the difficulty is the Hebrew doesn't have vowels.
Yeah.
And so since we don't speak that language, we don't know what would have been assumed. And so that's where Jehovah came from. I believe now it's a mispronunciation, but we get Jehovah when, I guess now the modern understanding is it should be Yahweh instead of Jehovah.
Yeah, or...
But like you say, that has the B sound in it.
Yeah, it has the W sound in it. And I'm like, no, I don't think the J is not right and the W is not right. Probably. But anyway... Yeah. I mean, my best guess is, because the word for I am in Hebrew is yeh. You know, so, and that would be, just yod, hey, Y-H, Y-H. Yeah, yeah. So my best guess is Yehveh, Yehveh. You know, I mean, that would be the simplest, because obviously it was some form of I am, right? Some ancient form of I am, or, you know, at least a spin-off of I am, right? You can tell in Exodus. So my best guess is Yehveh, but nobody pronounces that way. But it seems to me, okay, that'd be the obvious, something like that, Yehveh. But anyway, I do like Yahweh better than Jehovah, because you know the J. Okay, so we have the modern font. Okay, so the modern font, if you look at the modern font, you know, compared, you know, because the H, okay, what's ironic is the ancient Hays, they do look kind of like H's, right? If you, you know, they just are backwards K or something. But you can see the vowel. But anyway, that's the difference between the modern font and Dead Sea Scrolls font. Okay. Overtime number 2. I guess this turned out about the right time, huh? Okay. So when Jesus talks about, you know, not one jot or tittle shall disappear from the law until all is accomplished. Okay, so the jot is the yod. He's talking about the yod, the smallest letter, or the smallest mark. Okay, so if you look at those bottom two, you see the resh is kind of smooth. It's just got a stroke, but just a curve, and then goes straight down. And the dalef kind of goes over, and then goes straight. So this little, you see that little mark that makes the dalef, instead of just the resh, that's the tittle. That's the tittle. So that little mark would be considered a tittle. So the smallest mark that's distinguishing between like a dalef and a resh would be the tittle. Anyway. All right. I guess that's all I have. Any questions? I guess we're getting winded down.